This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. I'd like to thank our sponsors who make our podcast possible. We tape our podcast with the ongoing support of Raider and Jason Sikora, our sound engineer. Raider is a hands-on IT service provider that integrates all of your needs for advanced technical support, effective communication options, and cybersecurity. Raider's motto is, you just want it to work, we understand. Please visit RaiderSolutions.com for more information. Iberia Bank and First Horizon, who are now one bank. Two relationship-driven banks, both leaders in the industry, have officially joined forces. The combination of Iberia Bank and First Horizon creates a leading financial services company dedicated to enriching the lives of their clients, associates, and their communities. I'd also like to thank Lafayette General Health, who has joined the Ochsner Health family and is now Ochsner Lafayette General. As one health system, Ochsner Lafayette General will provide expanded services and enhanced care from the familiar faces you already trust. Ochsner Lafayette General means more resources to help solve healthcare's toughest problems, reinvesting in our communities, and being further committed to health and wellness. Ochsner Lafayette General. Together means more. Learn more today at togethermeansmore.org. Our guest today is Lafayette native Rex Morrow, a commercial sales and leasing agent with Scout Real Estate Company. Early in his career, he toured and recorded throughout the U.S. and Europe, and later returned to Lafayette to graduate from UL Lafayette with a degree in international relations. Rex began his real estate career at Coldwell Banker Real Estate, and in the fall of 2018, joined Scout Real Estate, a firm headed up by his mentor, the late Hammy Davis, along with Jeff Landry and Chad Orte. Rex still performs periodically, and if you remember from our first interview, Rex also gained renown as one of the only people from our region that has been selected to be a guest on Jeopardy. He and his wife, Jessica, have three small children, or young children, I should say. They're probably growing up now. Drexel, Solomon, and Finley. Rex Morrow, welcome to Discover Lafayette.
Thank you so much for having me again, Jan. I really appreciate it. It's a pleasure.
I think our interview was in 2019, before you appeared on Jeopardy. And at that point, I want to get you to get into that. But at that point, you had recently joined Hammy Davis. You had left Coldwell Banker, and Hammy had started Scout Real Estate. So there were so many wonderful things going on, and you were slated to appear on Jeopardy.
Yeah.
If you want to kind of catch us up before we get into the current affairs with real estate, things have changed.
Things have changed, completely. We lost Hammy.
Yeah.
He was diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer in the fall of 2019, and he passed away in October of 2020.
He was a beloved mentor of yours. I know.
He was really outside of my immediate family, really the most important person to me in the world on so many levels, not just professionally. He was just the greatest guy I ever knew.
And I think everyone that knew him, they didn't know him as well as you, but he touched lives through his faith, his philanthropy, when he was a lawyer, a friend, just a wonderful member of our community.
He was really one of those people that you can't overstate, you can't exaggerate. Yeah. I mean, he was really that incredible. Mm-hmm. He was really that infectious. When he was passionate about something, it inspired everybody around him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was really just, he's kind of, how I hope to be at some point.
All of us.
That's right. I mean, if I can walk the world like that, I think I've won.
Yeah. So you've been in real estate now for several years.
Since 2012. Uh-huh. Yeah. Hammy took me on.
Did you ever think you'd be a real estate agent?
No, I mean, not
after touring.
No, not after
a musician.
Not after that. My previous life, so to speak. I mean, I kind of make the joke every now and then that I never said the words commercial real estate until I had lunch with Hammy that day. And I guarantee you that's true. I mean, it just was never anything that I would imagine. But, you know, once again, Hammy really had a way of you know, making you love something, making you, mm-hmm. making you just truly be infected by his passion for it, which that was very much one of his passions. And he, you know, he staked me for a year, you know, which, I mean, is about as generous as it gets in our business. As you know, we're commission-based business. And he really got me off the runway. And, you know, it's become a career, and it's become one that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And I really have a lot of optimism about.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and like I said, I mean, we can only hope to try and live up to Hammy's example.
Well, of course.
You know.
Well, you're surrounded by talent. I mean, I'm very familiar with Jeff Landry.
Yeah.
And Chad Orte. So you've got two solid partners there that are running the firm. And tell us about Scout. I mean, I don't know how many employees or
Scout,
what your region is.
I think now we have six agents, and I'm sure we can fact check that. And off the top of my head, I think six is the total amount of agents we have. But you know, we're strictly commercial. We have a property management sector, or I should say division, brokerage and acquisition and development. I mean, but brokerage is my arena, and certainly was Hammy's. I don't know. And Hammy was really the philosophical force behind the company, and was really the engine, and everybody, you know, really was able to, you know, like I said, just kind of imbue all of that hamminess every day into the office. And so we really have we're specialized, and we're only commercial. We don't have any residential. And, I don't know. I mean, we like to think that's, you know, we specialize there for a reason, and that's really our focus, because it is a different animal.
If you could comment on that, I did. I'm an attorney that did real estate closings. The majority were residential.
Mm-hmm.
I did handle commercial real estate closings, and I have to say they're like night and day.
Yeah.
Because the residential people, sometimes nobody gets a survey. Hardly. They just go off the public records, which, as you know,
sometimes
the lot is not what you think it is. But the due diligence is what segregates the commercial realtors from the rest of the market, because you're dealing with business people, and they're looking at return on investment. They don't want to just wing it with what if there are fuel tanks below the ground or something. You have to put in the extra mile to make sure something goes right.
That's right. I mean, you essentially become another advisor to a business person. I mean, not only that, you know, we often also do things like 1031 exchanges, where you really become a financial, you know, advisor to some degree. I mean, you have to understand, you know, how those numbers work and why they would be moving money from here to there. And I mean, it's just a completely different approach than the approach that you and I would take to the place we're going to live,
right,
with our family. It's just it's a different animal. I mean, at its core, it's the same concept. You're owning property, but it's just approached totally differently. And when it's a business venture on business time, well, those hours are very limited to a business person. And, you know, that's where, you know, you're able to offload that on us.
Right.
And we become another member of the team.
Right.
Because real estate's going to be one aspect of the business, and usually a pretty important one. So that's how we approach it day to day. It's not just, you know, everybody needs a house, but business is a little bit more tricky. Not everybody needs, you know, it gets much more specialized, gets much more complicated.
And probably more patient. I'm sure that people want to rush things when they have to, but overall it's better to be sound.
That's right. And the deals take much, much longer typically in commercial. That's one of the, you know, income-wise drawbacks, I suppose, you know, from where I sit. But still, I mean, it's...
I think it's fascinating.
It is.
Yeah. I want to bring up something, too. You helped me recently, without naming my clients. I helped somebody, a family whose father had passed away. And so he had property he had inherited in St. Landry Parish. And we were trying to figure out the value. So I called you, and you and people like you are able to help families that may not really know that oh, we have commercial real estate now. You know, mm-hmm. when you inherit something and it's been in the family for decades, most people, if they're not in your business, they don't know what it's worth. They don't know what they should do with it. Should it be subdivided? And you were able to help us put a value on the property for the succession, but it also will let the family know, okay, maybe these are some things we could utilize that property for, or maybe it's better to wait. And so you advise people on absolutely types of things like that.
I mean, absolutely. That's, you know.
Because they were asking me, I was like, you know, that's beyond my level of expertise.
We often represent estates. We often represent heirs that had no personal interest at all in the commercial, you know, venture, whatever it was. I mean, my family has lots of commercial land. I mean, not so much now, but I mean, certainly when the elder generation had a lot, and my mother and her siblings for sure inherited lots of commercial land. And I mean, they weren't really commercial real estate people. Right. I mean, so we're often the first call when people are confronted with that a lot, you know, in a succession for sure. Right.
Well, I was bringing up a past interview I had done with ViMed, Casey Hoyt and Michael Moore, and you were saying, oh, that was one of my transactions.
Yeah,
so that was the Stone Energy Building.
Stone Energy Building, or Talus had owned it at the time. That's right.
It'll always be Stone to me. I know it.
That's right.
I should move on with the times, but that's a large building on Colley Saloon.
That was a huge deal. Yeah. I represented ViMed in that. Casey and Mike are some of my oldest friends, and and that was a great deal. That was a great deal for everybody, I think. ViMed has obviously become and is becoming an even bigger pillar.
Well, the largest distributor of non-invasive, if I remember.
Ventilators
in the country,
And just
home
oxygen. Yeah.
Right here.
I know. They've really done just a fantastic job, and great guys. And, you know, it's just a really good company.
Is that how you get your foot, like, in the door when you start? You've been in the business now 9 years, but
it's like anything. You use whatever advantage you have. You know, you try to capitalize. I mean, you know, I think at first you get your foot in the door by obviously growing up and knowing people. I mean, certainly in that case, that was Casey and I have been friends since we were very young. But, you know, then at that point, I think then everybody becomes, okay, well, can you do the job?
Are you competent?
You know, because when it comes to the bottom line, you got to perform, I think. So, I mean, like anything, I mean, I think in any business anybody does anytime, you have certain things that you don't control. And then after that, you got to prove yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Before we segue, I'd like to talk about the current real estate market in our region, especially with COVID and what's happened. But before we do that, Rex, I'd like to take a moment to look back at my interview with Hammy Davis. He was a delight to interview, and I'd like to just pull up a snippet from it. And for people that are listening to this, if you'd like to hear the whole interview, you can go to discoverlafayette.net and just type in Hammy Davis, and we have about 200 interviews now, but his was one of those that I cherish greatly. Let's take a moment and listen. Do you have advice for people that might be going into real estate? What you obviously enjoy what you do, and it's afforded you the lifestyle, Hammy, to where you can enjoy yourself and give back to the community. So do you have advice for people that are considering a career, whether residential or commercial? I don't know if you've done any residential work.
I have been so blessed and would recommend anybody go spend some time with someone who does it and see if that's what you enjoy, because it is people, people, people. You've really got to dig in analytically. I think that, I do think there's an intellectual pursuit in real estate, understanding both the investment side as well as as an end user. But I think more than anything else, you just got to love the pace of it, which is very fast moving. Every phone call can mean money. Everything you do during the day can change the way your day's going and things go in terms of business. So it's real short-term business propositions going on all the time.
Keeping the balls up in the air, huh?
Exactly. And that, to me, is fun. I mean, you will definitely never get bored. But it isn't for everybody, but it's for a lot of people.
Welcome back. Discover Lafayette. So Rex Morrow, what is it like today? Here we are, beginning of April, 2021. And a year ago, our whole world turned upside down. And I've got to think the commercial real estate market in particular has had to do a lot of regrouping because people have learned, it seems like it's been a cycle. First people thought, oh, we have to work from home. This is so much better. And then I'm hearing now that people have been doing that. They're like, oh, it's so much better to be in the office.
And to be honest, I was hearing that pretty quickly after. I mean, obviously, like the rest of the world, I mean, it was whiplash. We didn't know what to expect. We didn't know there was some stuff like that that was going to obviously affect our business, you know, extremely.
Because everything shut down.
And then, you know, and then obviously there was things that that did to the energy sector that we knew always is going to correlate to some in our industrial real estate market is going to be big. So we knew that was going to come, and it has. But on the office, you know, the most immediate one was like, oh yeah, there, everybody's going to realize they don't need to pay rent, you know,
empty
and we're going to be, and, but we discovered pretty quickly. And I think, I mean, everyone in our office, I think has had the same experience of people saying, no, like we need people in the office. We need to have that, you know, whatever camaraderie or just a place that everyone goes. I know personally, I need to leave my house and go to an office to work. I mean,
well, with three children,
I have kids, right?
And they were out of school.
That's right. Yeah. So that was never going to happen. But just take that out of the equation. Even if not, I think that managers and business owners were, whatever they imagined they could save on rent, I think was outweighed by the fact that they had much less control over productivity and much.
That's what I thought.
They
would
just
be an
weren't.
Issue.
You know, I mean, you just you don't have that quality control, that hands-on.
When you're home, it's so easy to get distracted. And I've worked from home for years. I think I'm one of those weird people that also works in spurts.
Yeah.
So I can get more done in an hour sometimes than I can sitting in an office for 4 hours just because of the distractions.
Right.
But I do specific type of work like this podcast or legal work.
Right.
So I can hole up by myself. But most offices, you've got to have that give and take. What do you think about this?
That's right.
And I just wondered how much productivity was actually happening.
I mean, we, you know, and I can tell you that we haven't seen a huge, I mean, I should say there's probably been a lull in the lease market. It certainly has in the retail, for
sure.
There has
been. They're holding off on big purchases.
Just getting, you know, if I'm a retailer, it's probably difficult for me to commit to a multi-year lease, you know. And that's, now, I've never been busier on the sale market than I am right now. So, I mean, the interest rates have a lot to do with that.
What type of sales, Rex?
Like, I mean, I you know, everything from office buildings to industrial.
And that surprises me.
And I mean, you would think now it could be anecdotal. I mean, that's my personal, you know, situation right now. And, I'm sure if you talk to 10 other agents, it may be completely different, but that's what I'm saying.
Residential's been booming too.
Yeah. I mean, but it's, like I said, it's on the sale market. The lease market is, less so for sure. And much less so in the retail.
Right.
But I think that's going to boom again. Mm-hmm. Now it may bust after that, but I mean,
what do y'all think?
Are going to be so excited to get back to business.
Normalcy,
and there's going to be a big need for everybody to get, you know, gather.
So do you have any expectations of time? What do your peers think about where we might look at normalcy?
I mean, I think like everybody else, it probably has a lot to do with the COVID numbers and the vaccine results and any new mutation or whatever.
Right.
You know, I mean, all those epidemiological things that we have no control over. But if those go in the optimistic way, I mean, there's no reason why this fall things can't be, you know, somewhat back to normal.
Right.
And with a kind of a new excitement, with new, you know, stimulated economy and all those kind of things, that'll at least in the near term, spark some pretty good, a pretty good outlook, I guess.
The retail places I've been in, I mean, I've really shopped the whole time because we've been eating from home, but Costco booms.
Right.
Walmart booming. I know Target's been through the roof with business. I went into the mall recently for a birthday gift for my daughter, Taylor, and didn't seem like there were a lot of people there. The stores that were doing well, but it just seemed
That's a trend.
Nationally or internationally.
A few decades in the making.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm aware there are some malls that have been totally deserted, but.
Yeah, I mean, they're all being repurposed for different. Amazon has really fundamentally changed everyone's approach to retail, including me, and I'm sure everybody, I'm sure you. I mean, you know.
They have, and yet it's still nice to have those
There's a couple of, I need to try clothes on.
And right. You can't smell a candle online. Right. Now, once you buy it, you know if you like something. But for those sensory experiences of buying gifts and looking at jewelry up close, there's nothing like those retailers. And I know there's a trend with the malls, but I just wondered what you've been seeing with other retailers. Is there a pulse, like locally, what you're seeing with local jewelers, local retail?
I've seen a lot of hesitancy in new business. That's really been, you know, my experience in the few retail properties that I have. I mean, you know, if you get somebody that specializes in retail, they could probably be a lot more comprehensive about it. I mean, what I've noticed is just a real kind of, it'd be a great idea. Let me wait a while. Mm-hmm. Or, we think this could, maybe shoot the gap and it'd be something that people would want to travel to, but let's just wait off. So that's what I've noticed personally. But again, I mean, you probably want to talk to a specialist to really kind of get, because they may bring up something that I'm not thinking about that is really booming or something in retail I just don't know about.
Are most leases, do they want multi-years? You were saying
typically,
they want like a 3-year.
Three to 5 years is what you're looking at. I mean, obviously, everything's negotiable and sometimes landlords have to take what they can get.
But they don't want 1-year leases. They want to.
They prefer not. Mm-hmm. But they'll take them.
Yeah.
I mean, we do them all the time.
Yeah.
But,
you do?
Oh, yeah. But, you know.
If you got a good negotiator on your side, huh, Rex?
Yeah. That's right. Absolutely. But typically they want, 3 to 5.
Yeah.
3 years and 5 years ideal. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you guys handle properties outside of Louisiana? Where, what is your scope?
Jeff does. Jeff has some developments in Alabama and Tennessee, I believe. I personally haven't done anything outside of Louisiana. Really haven't done much outside of Acadiana. I honestly don't think I have at all.
Yeah. I was curious about the vacation market, like those type of sales. I'm wondering what's going on because it looks like they're, people are just reopening. I saw some pictures about the Floribama and they're doing some of their fun events again. So it's like, okay, maybe we are looking
at
the end of the tunnel.
I mean, I have no doubt. I think my wife and I are taking a vacation in a few weeks. And
we're taking our first one, like 4 days to get away.
Oh, nice.
To Alabama. Because it's close, but we haven't really gone anywhere.
We're going to Hawaii.
You're flying.
Yeah.
Wow.
For my wife's 40th birthday.
Wow. Is this your first time to fly since the shutdown?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
I know. Long flight, too.
Yeah.
I don't like flying.
But Hawaii.
Yeah. I have never been to Hawaii.
I haven't either, but, maybe you can open up a satellite scout real estate office.
Love it. It sounds like a natural. Sounds like a winner.
I know. Well, anything like what advice would you share when you meet with people? Like I know for Casey and Michael Moore, you were helping them find office space. What advice do you have for your clients, both if they're trying to sell or if they're looking for space? Are there things people should do to prepare, for a transaction of the sort?
Well, I mean, if you're buying an office building to occupy, at least partly or whole, the most important thing is to try and imagine things that aren't readily evident to you. Try and think be optimistic, but think in the worst case. Mm-hmm. And if you can live with the worst case, well, then you probably have something that you want to pursue. Uh-huh. I think the biggest problem that we see, and it's probably true in business in general, is people get too obsessed with the good side and they start to rationalize away or downplay or that'll never happen, things like that.
And it will.
Yeah. It guarantee you it
Murphy's
will.
Murphy's Law is alive and well.
It just absolutely will happen. And that's when I think people get in trouble, is they fall in love, and you need to fall in love. I mean, we are in the dreams business, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we want, you know, this is America. You want people to dream big, and you want that those dreams to be bolstered by solid institutions, right? But I think in commercial real estate particularly, just, you know, go in eyes wide open. I mean, and have somebody that's really your advocate, that's working for you.
And not too eager to close. Like, you don't have to be able to step back and say, you know, this may not be the right transaction for you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Hammy used to say, he had this saying, go to work every day like you have $100,000 in your pocket. And what he meant was, if you're obsessed with the money side, if your commission, you're not going to do right by your client.
No.
You have to be able to tell them this is no good. And that's tough to do sometimes.
But that is doing right by your client.
But that's right. But you got to take the long view. You have to understand that when you do that, that earns you trust, and that's always going to be for the better of everybody. When everybody wins, if you chase a little commission because because you need it now for whatever reason, and you ignore, once again, you ignore the bad news and you just focus on the good news because you want to get this deal done, it's a temptation that the best of us deal with. Mm-hmm. But it's always going to pay off if you keep your client, you know, primary in mind.
Yeah. And things happen. I know some of the deals I closed that were commercial, we'd have things pop up at the last minute. Nothing to do with the real estate, but maybe with the seller. Somebody would slap a lien that morning before we closed because it was from another parish and hadn't been in the records. And you learn, you got to check the records the moment before you're signing.
That's right.
Because otherwise, I don't want to say too much, but
no, I mean,
it's wild.
I've heard horror stories.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've had things collapse, you know, a week before, a couple of days before, and it stings. It's not fun.
But it's better than closing and having to clean up the mess.
Absolutely.
When everybody's already got their checks and off they go.
So. Absolutely.
That wasn't the point of the podcast, but I was thinking you kind of learn to take a breath.
Yeah.
And I bet Hammy had a lot of good Hammyisms.
Oh, he was full of them. Mm-hmm. And they were... But they were, you know, he had such gravitas about it. I mean, they were so real. There was so much behind it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't flippant and it wasn't cliche. I mean, even if it was cliche, it wasn't cliche because he, you know, you just knew that he had experienced it. He had taken that in. He had really absorbed it. And, you know, and he loved nothing more than to impart all this wisdom on us, you know. That gave him as much joy as any big deal.
Right.
You know, so you just, it was just unbelievable having him every day.
Well, that's a good thing I can remember because my husband, John, always says, you know, you've got to be able to walk away from something.
Yeah.
Because people can sense also if you're not desperate, but if you really want something too
much,
it's not good.
You wear it
on your face.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
you probably reek of it, as you're saying. And he's told me so many times over the years, just, you know, everything's fine like it is. So if this happens, it's great. But if not, there's something else.
I know.
And sometimes nothing else is just as good as the wrong thing. So
absolutely.
Well, let's talk before we kind of wind down the interview. I want to know what it was like to be on Jeopardy. Because when I interviewed you a couple of years ago, I mean, you could talk about it some, but it hadn't aired yet. And Alex Trebek has also... Left us. Another cancer.
Another pancreatic cancer, same as my father. Yeah. I know. I feel so privileged because he was really, I mean, a prince. He was the sweetest, nicest guy. I mean, I got to spend that day with him just that day, but he was really, he was as good as you would want him to be.
Mm-hmm.
He really was. He's just a great guy.
So any advice for people? Like, you have to be quick. With
the buzzer,
trigger, right?
Man.
The buzzer. It's all about the buzzer.
It's all about the buzzer. And then you, because you have to time out the way that Alex or, and now whoever, whatever host is,
guest host,
Aaron Rodgers or whatever. Yeah. You know, you have to time out the last syllable is when you can buzz in.
And you can't buzz in the middle of the question?
No. Oh. You get timed out.
Oh.
That's the key. You have to wait till the last syllable, the last word, and then you can pop in.
Well, you're a musician. It seems like those notes would be.
Well, it seems like it. But what happened was I got behind, and I made so because it's Jeopardy's zero sum game, right? If you lose, they win. So you have to take bigger risks the further you get into a hole.
Oh, like being in Vegas. Like, well, that's right. I've already lost $100,000.
You got to keep doubling down. So
let me put my home up for mortgage.
Yeah, and I got into a hole in the beginning of Double Jeopardy.
Oh no!
And I, you can't participate in Final Jeopardy if you're negative, right? And I was.
Do you get brain freeze at some point? Like, well, is it like that?
And I was just buzzing in, and then the one that I buzzed in, I didn't know. So then I was really, and then, I mean, I really had like this epiphany or something, and I ended up like getting the last nine clues or something like that.
I didn't get to see it. I missed it, and we were traveling, and then I couldn't find it online.
I came back, I had a big little
spurt,
little mini comeback in the Double Jeopardy, and then I got Final Jeopardy right, but the other girls were awesome, and it was too much.
Does it go fast?
Yeah,
the time
flies by. I mean, it was like, yeah.
How do you feel competitively? I've never been in a situation like that. I never did, Quiz Bowl or anything. I know you were bright, and you've been bright your whole life. I've never had this, but it seems like you just want to kill your opponents.
It's actually, it's much more, I don't think I already even looked at them. I mean, you're just looking at, first of all, you feel like you're inside a museum. I mean, the Jeopardy studio looks like the Jeopardy studio.
Oh.
And Alex Trebek is Alex Trebek. I mean, standard. So it's really weird.
Yeah, because sometimes studios are not what you would
think.
It's
iconic. I mean, it's like as iconic as, Independence Hall or something. I mean, so you feel like that. So that's weird because for a head case like me, I'm just like, this is insane. You're really just like kind of with yourself, buzzer, and the board. I mean, I'm not really so much thinking about the other two contestants, but
like I would have been, yeah.
But I mean,
was it subject matter that you were familiar with?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think I've watched it a few times.
And is it on YouTube or something, or do you just have a tape?
I think it is.
I tried to find it. I just couldn't find it.
I'll send you a link.
Yeah, because I'd love to see it. Because to me, that to get on Jeopardy is such a difficult thing.
Yeah,
it was
tough.
Very few people make it to Jeopardy. But when I think of you now, I think Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Well, there's worse things.
Can you imagine when you're 90, looking back? What you going to think?
I was on Jeopardy. What you got, man?
I know, man. Nobody can top that. I mean, they have beautiful families and all, but honestly.
But yeah.
They weren't on Jeopardy.
They didn't meet Alex Trebek.
Mm-mm.
Come on, man. Come on.
Oh, man.
That was fun.
Well, anything you wanted to talk about today, because this was a catch-up. I just wanted to let you catch up with where life had been. It's always a pleasure.
Jan. Yeah. Thank you so much for inviting me. And no, I mean, I think, I just have so much optimism for Scout and, for our company, for Lafayette Commercial Real Estate. I've never been more excited about it. I've never been more optimistic. And I think everybody I work with every day feels the same. Yeah. So
that is something I meant to ask you. With the demise pretty much of the oil and gas industry, you still feel optimistic.
Oh, yeah.
We have new companies moving in.
There's a lot to buoy us these days. That's always going to hurt, but that's not going anywhere, not in the near term. I mean, that's going to, it may not be where it was in 2012 or whatever, but I don't have as much sky is falling feelings about that about the whole market in general. I just don't. I mean, maybe I should. I don't know, but I don't feel it.
I think Lafayette's history will bear that out too, because we've been through very hard times here, and people scrap. They really pick themselves up.
It's not
up.
All Lafayette has.
No.
I mean, when you talk about historical boom bust towns, whether it be in the Midwest or, even in Texas and places like that, and I know everybody thinks that their hometown is the best place in the world, and I'm sure I have a lot of that feeling also, but Lafayette does have such a cultural advantage, I think, and it has so much more to offer than just high-paying oil and gas jobs while oil is hot. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just we're just more than that.
Yeah.
And we always will be more than that.
Well, there's so many entrepreneurs in so many fields, including the oil and gas people that have pivoted to new fields because they know how to make things happen. They're creative.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Well, that's a great note to end this on. Rex Morrow with Scout Real Estate. I want to thank you for joining us. And I also want to thank our guests for listening. You can find Rex Morrow's interview along with almost 200 others at discoverlafayette.net. I also want to thank our sponsors who make our show possible. First of all, Iberia Bank, which is now a part of First Horizon. And of course, Ochsner Lafayette General. Thank you for being so supportive. And last but not least, Raider and Jason Sikora. And I've got to tell you, Jason pulled one of my interviews out of a hat. I tape these in my study at home, and sometimes they come up better than others, and we couldn't do this without the talent of Jason Sikora. So Jason, if you're listening, thank you. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, this is Jan Swift.